Now, a dozen Russian agents have been charged with hacking into the Democratic National Committee, the Hillary Clinton Presidential Campaign, and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein made the announcement on Friday. The 11-count indictment is part of Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 presidential election.
When we confront foreign interference in American elections, it's important for us to avoid thinking politically as Republicans or Democrats, and instead to think patriotically as Americans.
Today, President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin met in Helsinki. They were asked about the Mueller investigation during a joint news conference and denied any Russian wrongdoing. So what's the takeaway from the Trump-Putin sit-down, and where does the Mueller probe stand today? Katie Herriger is a professor of political science at Wake Forest University and an expert on federal special prosecutors. Katie, thanks for joining us today.
I'm happy to be here.
We'll get to that meeting today in just a bit. Let's start off with the big news on Friday about these indictments. How big a deal do you see this as being?
Well, I think it's a big deal in terms of sort of showing us where Mueller is going with the investigation. And I think sort of putting the evidence out there that clearly the Russians did attempt to interfere with the election, as our intelligence agency people have been saying. So I think it's significant in the sense that it's out there as a way of sort of a counter narrative to the president's narrative about what's going on. You know, whether he could actually ever prosecute these people is another matter, since they're in another country and they'd have to be extradited.
Yeah, Rosenstein said the Russians belong to the Military Intelligence Service, the GRU. And as you mentioned, we've had an indication since before Election Day that Russian intelligence officials were involved. But having this indictment spelling out the direct involvement of Russian officials, can you talk a little bit about what that means, what we know now?
So I think I was struck by the detail in the indictment. That shows that we had lots of ways of getting this information. In other words, that our counterintelligence people have been on it. So I think we know. I think it's very clear that they interfered with the election, and the president's own director of national intelligence confirms that, as does the Republican chair of the Senate Intelligence Committee. So we now have it from multiple sources.
Now, this was the hot news on Friday, but now today we have the aftermath of this sit-down between President Trump and Russian President Putin, and this press conference that's gotten a lot of reaction. And I want to play a moment for this. President Trump is asked toward the end of the conference if he would denounce this Russian interference that we see in the indictment. President Trump talked about Democratic computer servers and then this.
People came to me, Dan Coats came to me and some others. They said they think it's Russia. I have President Putin. He just said it's not Russia. I will say this. I don't see any reason why it would be, but I really do want to see the server. But I have confidence in both parties.
So people are reading this, Katie, as the president of the United States sitting next to President Putin, saying he has equal confidence in the entirety of the American intelligence system and Vladimir Putin, the autocratic leader of Russia. Well, what do you make of that?
Yes. Well, it's hard to be surprised anymore when the president does unconventional things. But I think the backlash that you've seen, the bipartisan backlash that you've seen to that statement, tells you that he may have overstepped. And I saw that he later tweeted something where he seemed to be dialing back the statement about the intelligence agencies, you know, or his lack of belief that they had the information. But I think, as I said, he's... I suppose we shouldn't be surprised by things like this. I think what seems different about this is the sort of foreign policy implications of it, in ways that I think may be what prompted the criticism from Republicans, who have been, I think, up to this point, reluctant to criticize.
Talking to Katie Herriger, professor of political science at Wake Forest University, talking about the latest news on the Russian probe, the indictments against Russian intelligence officials on Friday, and now this meeting between President Trump and President Putin and the ensuing press conference. I want to read some of the reaction that Katie Herriger just mentioned. Dan Coats, the director of national intelligence in the Trump administration, saying, quote, "The role of the intelligence community is to provide the best information, fact-based assessments possible for the president and policymakers. We have been clear in our assessments of Russian meddling in the 2016 election and their ongoing pervasive efforts to undermine our democracy." Paul Ryan, congressman from Wisconsin, a House speaker, not running again, says there's no question that Russia interfered in our election and continues attempts to undermine democracy. Moving ahead in that quote, "The president must appreciate that Russia is not our ally." Senator Ron Johnson, a second in that, he said, "I urge President Trump to forcefully and repeatedly demand that the Putin regime dramatically improve its behavior." And finally, Senator John McCain, another Republican, a quote from his statement, "No prior president has ever abased himself more abjectly before a tyrant." In order from weakest to strongest reactions there, Katie, is this something that you think is just going to blow over as some past incidents have? Or do you see Republican senators and members of Congress calling more attention to this?
Well, I was struck by the comments that Republicans made today, because, as I said, they have been sort of reluctant, I think, to criticize him even. And some members of the House, of course, have agreed with him that this is a witch hunt against him. But if I think of sort of another special prosecutor analogy, in Watergate, for much of the Watergate investigation, the first few years of it, the public was sort of generally thought, well, this is just some kind of political shenanigans. They tended to see it in very quite partisan terms. And then, of course, after Archibald Cox was fired, public opinion changed. And as that public opinion changed, so did, and part of it was Republicans saying you shouldn't have done that, right? So I think when Republican voters hear Republican members of Congress chastise the president, they may be more willing to believe there's something, that the president's behavior in this context is not appropriate.
I want to go back to
than they would be if it was just Democrats that were criticizing him.
Sure. I want to go back to Rod Rosenstein's announcement on Friday saying, hey, in this indictment, we're talking about foreign actors only. Here's a listen.
There's no allegation in this indictment that any American citizen committed a crime. There's no allegation that the conspiracy changed the vote count or affected any election result.
And some in the Trump administration have really focused on that point, that there are no allegations against Americans here, against the Trump campaign. But do these indictments rule out the possibility of that kind of investigation ongoing or down the road?
No. No, I mean, it's what Mueller's doing. He's a very skilled prosecutor, doing what very skilled prosecutors do. Which is when they have, they unroll it as they have it. And it's appropriate to say what Rosenstein said, which is that's not what this indictment is not about this. It's about this. And that's what good prosecutors do. But it doesn't foreclose the possibility of further future indictments of people who may have been connected in some way.
Now, an issue in this ongoing investigation, Katie, is whether President Trump himself would talk to the Mueller people if he could be forced to do so. Is this settled law at this point? Do we know how much authority they have to say, yeah, President, you got to talk to us?
It's more about custom, I think, than it is law. I mean, to the extent that the law has addressed these questions. I mean, fortunately, it hasn't happened a lot in our history. presidents have been required to respond. So if you think about United States versus Nixon, the Watergate case again, that the court said the needs for evidence in a criminal case override the executive privilege claim that he was making, right, against the tape. Now, in that case, it wasn't Nixon being forced to actually testify himself. It was the tapes that they wanted. But we know that President Clinton was called before the grand jury and testified. I mean, they negotiated how to do that in sort of the most formal way, and they didn't require him to come in person. They allowed him to do it by tape. But the precedent is that the president is not above the law in terms of the demands of a criminal case. So, but I think the custom is, and I think Mueller is appropriately being very cautious about this, the custom is to try to negotiate the rules of a meeting as opposed to having to subpoena someone, a president.
We're talking about the latest developments in the Mueller investigation with Katie Herriger. She's a political science professor from Wake Forest University and an expert on federal special prosecutors. 12 Russian agents were charged last week with hacking into various Democratic websites and Democratic organizations. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to these new charges? Is the Mueller investigation a witch hunt, as President Trump insists, or not? What do you think about the president's relationship with Russian President Vladimir Putin? Should he have canceled today's meeting with President Putin in the wake of these charges against Russian intelligence officials? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at Central Time WPR. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We continue our discussion on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's probe into Russian meddling in the 2016 elections. A dozen Russian agents were charged with hacking into the DNC, the Clinton presidential campaign, and the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Katie Herriger is with us, professor of political science at Wake Forest University and an expert on federal special prosecutors. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are your thoughts on these latest charges? Do you think the Mueller investigation should continue, or is it time to wrap it up? Should the president have called off today's meeting with Vladimir Putin, as some Democrats have suggested, or was he right to keep it? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Want to give a listen to President Trump here at this joint news conference with Vladimir Putin, talking about the Mueller investigation, saying it's harmed U.S.-Russia relations.
The probe is a disaster for our country. I think it's kept us apart. It's kept us separated. There was no collusion at all. Everybody knows it. People are being brought out to the fore. So far that I know, virtually none of it related to the campaign. And they're going to have to try really hard to find somebody that did relate to the campaign. That was a clean campaign.
The president focusing on the allegations of collusion, the idea that members of his campaign may have coordinated with Russian officials. That is just one part, as I understand it, Katie, of the Mueller probe. He's looking at a few different areas, including foreign interference, regardless of whether it was coordinated with Americans, right?
Exactly. In fact, when he was appointed, it said quite clearly that that was one of the primary things he was supposed to look at, was what role the Russians play. So, yes, he has. It has, and it also says, and other things discovered in the course of the investigation, right? And so I think some of the earliest indictments of Manafort, for example, and Flynn were things that had the FBI had already begun to uncover prior to Mueller even being appointed. But those were things that, you know, as they investigated him, because of his past, Manafort, for example, past relationship with the Russians and with the Ukrainian government, they uncovered the various financial dealings that he's been indicted with now. So when prosecutors uncover, I mean, again, normal prosecutors do that too. If they uncover evidence of crime while they're engaged in an investigation of something else, it's not like they say, oh, never mind. I wasn't looking for that, so I'm not going to do anything about it.
Let's go to our callers now. Willem is on the line in Colfax. Willem, hi.
Hi. I disagree with the president that everyone knows there was no collusion. I think that's what's being investigated. And seeing how his campaign manager, Manafort, who he lied about how significant he was to his campaign, Manafort was working on behalf of Ukrainian, Russian-supported Ukrainians, where that's where this term fake news comes from. That's something that they used in the Ukraine. It's something that the FSB and the KGB has used for a long, long time. And for the president of the United States to take the side of a man who's been implicated by a Dutch court in the shooting down of a civilian airline, by a British court of poisoning a former agent with a nuclear, polonium, and then the chemical warfare of these two other former agents, plus invading the Crimea with soldiers without insignia, which is an international war crime, to take the word of this man who spent his whole career in the arts of deception over the U.S. intelligence agencies is bordering on treason, I think. I think it's incomprehensible that a U.S. president would act this way after a tour of where he inserted himself in foreign countries' domestic business, insulted Angela Merkel and the Prime Minister of England and the EU. And, you know, he is doing what Putin has desired, to split the alliance between NATO and the United States. And
Willem, I'm going to jump in because I want to get Katie's response and bring on other callers as well in the time we have left. Willem's playing out the case against Vladimir Putin here and reiterating what a lot of people, as you said, Republicans and Democrats are saying, you're picking this guy over the U.S. intelligence community that's investigating these crimes.
Right. And people that you appointed to those intelligence communities. it's surprising. I think what John McCain said about its unprecedented nature is also true. And as the caller said, it couldn't be, especially the wedge that has been driven with our European allies, is precisely the kind of thing Putin has wanted for a long time. He would love to see NATO dissolved.
Willem, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Aaron in Sturgeon Bay. Aaron, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I saw the president and Mr. Putin's press conference, and I thought it was very good. I'm glad that he did bring up the server, because it was the DNC that claimed that the Russians hacked their server, and yet they never handed their server over to the FBI, which is very curious. But according to QAnon, they have everything. So all this is semantics. He knows everything, all the dirty dealings. Vault 7, which was released by WikiLeaks, proves that the CIA has software to make anything look like it came from anywhere, including Russia.
Aaron, thanks a lot for the call. Katie, I bring up that server that the president referenced a lot in this press conference. My understanding from the indictments is that the FBI did have a forensic read of relevant servers on this, even if they didn't ultimately take physical servers into their possession. That's my understanding based on a quick read.
And I'll just to correct one thing that he said, the DNC did not report that their server had been invaded. The FBI notified the DNC that it had happened. So it wasn't the DNC that made the first allegation. It was the FBI in their investigation notified the DNC, your server has been hacked.
Thanks for the call, Aaron. So as we look ahead, Katie, what are you watching for next in this investigation? As always, it seems like Robert Mueller plays things pretty close to the vest, doesn't tip people off as to what might be coming. Today, of course, we have now the arrest of a Russian graduate student at American University, the accusation that she was coordinating connections between American politicians, advocacy groups, and Russian officials. What are you watching for now?
Well, I think the sort of next step seem to be, I mean, really there's sort of two things that we haven't heard much from Mueller about, and I think the pressure is on him to say something one way or the other about, and one is the obstruction of justice investigation and around the firing of Comey, and the other is whether there are any members of his campaign staff who worked with the Russians. Those are the things I think, you know, now that the evidence has been, the very clear evidence has been laid out of what the Russians did, the question that's still there, I think, is did they coordinate with anybody in the campaign? So I think there's a considerable amount of pressure being mounted by both the president and his surrogates for this to get wrapped up, as they say. And I think, I'm sure that Mueller feels that pressure, but he also is going to continue, I think, to work in the kind of methodical way that he does. He's not going to change his MO as a prosecutor just because the president wants him to.
We'll leave it there for now. Katie, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome. Nice to be here.
Katie Herriger is a professor of political science at Wake Forest University and an expert on federal special prosecutors. Talked with her about today's meeting between President Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin and the newest charges in the Mueller investigation.